All over the world, different types of prisons are built to house criminals of different categories, and each prison has its own rules and methods to keep these criminals in check. While some prisons manage to keep prisoners in check by providing them with tolerable living conditions, others are known for being hell on earth, where inmates are forced to endure extreme torture and starvation. In this video, I will reveal the dark side of prison life by taking a deep dive into prisons with the worst conditions. Black Dolphin Prison, Russia. Black Dolphin Prison, formerly known as NKVD Prison No. 2, is one of the oldest prisons in Russia, located near the border with Kazakhstan. The prison's unique name comes from the sculpture of a dolphin at its entrance. Legend has it that the dolphin was built by prisoners who enjoyed the company of nature, sitting on the grass outside the prison entrance. Originally, Black Dolphin was a prison reserved for those sentenced to life imprisonment with hard labor. However, following Pugachev's rebellion in 1773, the prison was expanded to house thieves as well. In recent times, Black Dolphin Prison has become a feared place to hold the country's worst criminals, including serial killers, terrorists, murderers, cannibals, and those who commit crimes against children. The security measures at this prison are top-notch, making it nearly impossible for inmates to escape. As a prison that houses the worst of the worst criminals, it is easy to understand why extra measures have been taken to ensure that these criminals do not re-enter society. Each inmate is isolated in a cell secured by three steel doors. Each cell is equipped with a 24-hour surveillance camera. This allows authorized officials to monitor what is happening in the prison at all times. From the moment they wake up in the morning until they go to bed, inmates are required to stand and are not allowed to sit or rest on their bunks. Guards make rounds every 15 minutes to supervise inmates and ensure they are following the rules. Inmates are confined to their cells for most of the day. They are only allowed to exercise in a large cage for 90 minutes per day. During this exercise period, each cell is searched for illegal items and weapons. Inmates are only allowed to possess books, newspapers, and a radio. Anything else is considered illegal. Interaction between inmates at Black Dolphin is minimal, as there is no prison cafeteria. Inmates are fed four times a day in their cells, and their meals consist of soup and bread. Black Dolphin uses a unique method of moving inmates from one part of the facility to another. First, guards blindfold inmates to ensure they do not have a complete view of the prison that would allow them to plan escapes. Inmates are then forced to bend over at the waist with their hands cuffed behind their backs. Guards hold the handcuffs in place to guide the inmates to their destination. This method is used to prevent inmates from having a proper view of their surroundings and to prevent them from attacking guards or other inmates. Another peculiarity of Black Dolphin is that inmates are forced to respond with the words, "Yes, sir," when interacting with guards. A notable inmate of Black Dolphin is German actress Carol Never, who died in prison in 1942. Kamiti Maximum Security Prison, Kenya. Prisons in Kenya are often known for their inhumane living conditions, but Kamiti Prison, located in Royambu constituency, is considered the worst of all. It was originally built to house 100 inmates but now holds over 3,600, more than double the population it was built to handle. Overcrowding in the prison has led to serious health problems for many inmates. The spread of serious diseases such as gonorrhea, syphilis, tuberculosis, dysentery, and HIV is very common in Kamiti due to the unsanitary environment. Prisoners have to live in dilapidated buildings and overcrowded cells with a constant lack of basic sanitary requirements. Living conditions are worsened by the constant lack of water, as there is no reliable source inside the prison. Around 200 prisoners are forced to carry buckets of water every day to at least keep themselves clean. Some sections of the prison are particularly notorious for the kind of brutality that exists there. Block G is a section full of sexual predators who prey on the weak for their pleasure. It is possible that these predators can get away with their nefarious activities due to the overcrowding of the prison. Kamiti Prison became infamous for another reason in November 2008. When a search uncovered a grisly fact about the inmates, it was discovered that the prisoners in the prison's A block had been operating what could be called an illegal call center. It turned out that many of the inmates were in possession of mobile phones that they used for large-scale scams. The phones were of a particular brand, manufactured with a special voice-changing feature that allowed the criminals to alter their voices when calling unsuspecting victims, pretending to be women or children in need. They would even go so far as to fake accents to trick their victims into believing the lies they were telling them. The inmates would then strike up a relationship with the victim and keep up the charade until they had successfully extorted money from them. When they weren't making calls, the inmates would send dubious text messages to scores of Kenyans, waiting for an unfortunate person to take the bait. Other times, inmates would call people saying they were calling from the local radio station and somehow convince the person to give their ATM details. Rumor has it that these criminals were assisted by guards who took a cut of the money from the scams the inmates ran. The fact that guards assist inmates in their illegal businesses explains the prevalence of prison scams. Scores of Kenyans have fallen victim to these elaborate scams, losing their life savings to hardened criminals who could not be stopped by the bars of the prison. Kamiti Prison made headlines again in November 2009 when 8 prisoners died in a cholera outbreak. In 2021, it emerged that 3 inmates had escaped from prison and 7 guards were subsequently arrested for helping them escape. Terre Haute Ip, UU, the United States Penitentiary. Terre Haute is a federal high-security prison designated for male inmates. USP Terre Haute is built with multiple levels of security consisting of maximum security, medium security, and low security units. In July 1993, the federal government assigned USP Terre Haute to execute death row inmates. A few years later, the prison was renovated to house the special confinement unit, where death row inmates are held prior to their execution. In 1999, all federal death row inmates were transferred from other federal and state prisons to USP Terre Haute. The federal government chose this prison as the federal male death row facility because of its central location in the country. Although they are sentenced to death, inmates at USP Terre Haute are allowed to work at Unicor, a prison-based manufacturing company that produces towels and other supplies for the military. Each inmate can earn between $6 and $10 per day. However, the conditions of these men's confinement have been the subject of debate around the world. In 2008, the ACLU accused USP Terre Haute of providing inadequate living conditions in its special confinement unit. The ACLU alleged that death row inmates were not provided with adequate medical and mental health services. It also alleged that prisoners endured incessant noise that robbed them of sleep. At Trott, prisoners are held individually in small cells and spend most of their time alone, but they are allowed to talk to each other through the front of their cells. They are allowed out of their cells 3 times a week for exercise and recreation, but they must do so in a cage rather than outdoors. Communication between prisoners and the outside world is severely restricted. Prisoners are allowed only 7 visiting days per month. All incoming mail is reviewed, copied, and screened before it is delivered. Another communication restriction is that all inmates are required to speak English in all conversations. Since its inception, Terre Haute has witnessed the execution of 16 men, including Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. The prison currently houses notable criminals such as Zohart Tsarnaev, aka the Boston Bomber, whose death sentence was recently reinstated and is awaiting execution. Despite the harsh conditions faced by inmates, it is important to note that USP Terre Haute was the first federal prison to consider offering psychological and psychiatric treatment to inmates. It is also one of the few prisons where prisoners are referred to by their first names instead of their numbers. In 2021, Trott recorded the highest number of COVID-19 cases of any federal prison. Some 281 inmates tested positive for the virus, including death row inmates in solitary confinement. About 14 of the 50 inmates on death row were infected, which likely meant they had come into contact with the virus through prison staff. San Quentin U. San Quentin Prison is the oldest prison in California and was built due to the rise in crime in San Francisco. Between 1848 and 1852, the state saw an influx of fortune seekers who in turn caused a rise in crime. As more criminals were arrested, the city jail reached its limit and even became overcrowded to the point that some prisoners were briefly placed on a ship before the government decided to build a prison. San Quentin Prison was originally built to house 250 prisoners, but that number was quickly surpassed. The prison was initially turned over to private investors who were awarded the contract to operate the facility. These individuals were to maintain the prison and in return were allowed to contract out inmates to various companies. Over time, however, the prison became poorly managed and inmates were subjected to harsh living conditions. Inmates were treated in the most inhumane manner and suffered brutal punishments, including floggings and being doused with water from a high-pressure hose. At one point, prison security was so poor that over 80 inmates escaped in 1 year, prompting the government to forcibly reclaim the prison's management. San Quentin has been home to criminals of all stripes, including Saran Saran, the man who assassinated Robert F. Kennedy. Saran is the death row center for men on death row in California, while women facing the death penalty are held at the Central California Women's Facility in Xuxila. San Quentin's death row is divided into three sections, the first of which is North Segregation, reserved for inmates who are compliant and unlikely to cause trouble. Next is East Block, which basically houses the largest number of death row inmates, and then there's the Adjustment Center. This section houses the worst of the worst criminals who have to be treated differently than others. As of December 2015, San Quentin's death row housed over 700 male inmates, making it the largest death row facility in the United States. In 2001, the prison's death row was considered the largest in the Western Hemisphere, and in 2005, it was said to be the most populated execution room in the United States. It also houses the only gas chamber in California. 3 years after the state governor ended capital punishment in the state, San Quentin death row began the process of closing in early 2022. All death row inmates are being relocated to regular cells. Diyarbakir, Turkey. Diyarbakir Prison in Turkey was established in 1980 by the Ministry of Justice. However, control of the prison was transferred to the military administration following the Turkish coup d'etat on September 12, 1980. Under the military administration, Diyarbakir became a martial law military prison, known for administering some of the worst forms of punishment. Diyarbakir Prison was originally built to house 744 inmates, but over the years it became overcrowded and by 1996 it had 942 prisoners. Between 1981 and 1984, in addition to overcrowding, prisoners were subjected to horrific and inhumane torture. This period is popularly known as the Barbarian Period or the Hell of Diyarbakir. Prison guards were allowed to strip prisoners naked, beat them, and pull their hair mercilessly. Sometimes they would blindfold them, strip them naked, and spray them with high-pressure hoses. The prison used prolonged solitary confinement as a method of torture, and guards would constantly insult and threaten to kill prisoners. The prison captain, Esat Okti Yildirim, had a German shepherd dog named Joe, and all prisoners were required to greet him. They had no choice but to greet the animal, as it had been trained to bite the private parts of wayward prisoners. Among the many forms of torture used were sleep deprivation, as well as deprivation of food and water for long periods. Sometimes guards would whip prisoners on the soles of their feet or hang them by their arms. At other times, prisoners were forced to stand for long periods or to perform strenuous exercises in very unpleasant temperatures. Other torture techniques used included asphyxiation, sexual humiliation, crushing of limbs and genitals, and forcing naked prisoners to lie on top of each other. Electric shocks to the genitals, burning flesh with cigarettes, and pulling out prisoners, healthy nails and teeth were also common. The guards were in complete control and did not hesitate to unleash hell. Sometimes, guards forced prisoners to urinate on each other, and in other cases, guards even raped or threatened to rape prisoners, even in front of their relatives. During the period of barbarism, it was common for prison guards to use various terms such as disco, welcome, theater, and bath as a kind of code name for the different torture techniques. The term disco was used when a prisoner was forced to bathe in the prison sewer. A former inmate who spent 11 years in the prison stated that Captain Isat would greet each new inmate at the gate. The captain would then instruct the guards to prepare a bath for the new prisoner and then take him to the dormitory. What the prisoner didn't know was that he was about to experience torture. The guards would start by beating him before dragging him to a bathtub full of human excrement where they would leave him for the next few hours. The torture of prisoners in Dilarbakir was so severe that 34 inmates lost their lives due to torture during the barbaric period. Dilarbakir is considered one of the most notorious prisons in the world. However, in 2021, the Turkish president announced plans to turn it into a cultural center. Mendoza Prison, Argentina. Mendoza Prison in Argentina is plagued by overcrowding, as it currently houses 3 times its original capacity. Overcrowding is a common problem in prisons in Argentina. However, Mendoza Prison is the worst of the lot. Many prisoners in Argentina live in appalling conditions due to overcrowding, which has often led to prison riots and violent attacks between prisoners that have resulted in an increasing number of deaths. In Mendoza, 5 prisoners are crammed into a tiny cell measuring 43 square feet. In addition to being crammed together, there are not enough mattresses for the prisoners, meaning they have to sleep on the cold floor. The state of Mendoza prison came to light in 2005, when Amnesty International denounced the conditions for prisoners. They noted that the prison's sewage system was in appalling condition, forcing prisoners to use plastic bags and bottles when they wanted to relieve themselves. With the sewage system in ruins, it can be argued that prisoners in Mendoza are at risk of contracting numerous diseases related to pollution and poor hygiene. Their condition is compounded by the fact that the prison only calls in doctors and nurses after an inmate dies. Prisoners have no medical records and do not receive medical attention unless the case is considered critical. There is a shortage of medicine in the prison, and prisoners who absolutely need to see a doctor have to go to extraordinary lengths such as cutting themselves to receive medical attention. When doctors finally arrive, they are not allowed into the prison wards. Amnesty International also reported that prison guards routinely beat prisoners whenever they search their cells for illegal items. The beatings escalated when the guards tried to maintain discipline among the prisoners. It was also reported that 14 prisoners aged between 18 and 21 decided to protest the ill treatment they were suffering by sewing their lips shut for a few days. Sewing their lips shut to get the government's attention demonstrates the suffering endured by prisoners in Mendoza. According to the Argentine Constitution, prisons must be clean, safe, and healthy. In general, prisons are designed for rehabilitation and not punishment. However, the case of the prisoners in Mendoza is different, as the few who managed to escape alive leave prison in worse conditions than when they entered. Aside from the problems mentioned, Mendoza is also notable for the fact that many prisoners have yet to be tried or sentenced. Despite not having been convicted, these prisoners have no choice but to endure the inhumane conditions in the hope of one day being released. In addition to its horrifying findings, Amnesty International is also concerned by the fact that since 2000, dozens of prisoners have died as a result of violence in Argentine prisons, and only a handful of these incidents have been investigated by the government. Geldani Prison, Georgia. Geldani Prison, located in Tbilisi, Georgia, garnered international attention due to a prisoner torture scandal that came to light in September 2012. The country's citizens were shocked when several videos were leaked showing prison guards and their superiors sexually abusing and torturing inmates. There had long been allegations that guards mistreated Geldani prisoners, but these allegations remained until leaked videos confirmed them to be true. Thanks to the whistleblower, the country was given a first-hand look at the evils that were perpetrated in the prison. The videos were posted by 35-year-old Vladimir Badukadze, who was also a prison officer. After exposing the evils of his colleagues at Geldani, Vladimir fled to Belgium for his safety. He was initially wanted in connection with the abuse case, but prosecutors eventually released him after considering his immense contribution to uncovering serious crimes being committed in the prison. The videos contained scenes of sexual abuse and rape using broomsticks and police batons. The first video showed a total of 10 guards physically and verbally abusing the inmates. A second video showed an inmate being ordered to remove his underwear and do as he was told. As he removed his underwear, the guard began to spit on him. After a while, the guard referred to the man he was abusing as a dirty thief. The video ends with the man being forced to write something resembling a speech while the guard dictated it to him. The third video showed an Armenian prisoner tied tightly to a bar in his cell cursing at the prison guards. The video then shows another prisoner with his face covered pleading with the guards not to film him while they are having fun. The guards respond to his pleas by mocking and humiliating him. Prisoners in Geldani prison have suffered this type of torture for so long that this particular inmate wore a face mask to hide his face from the camera. In the same video, another man's buttocks are exposed, while the torturer repeatedly asks him if he is a thief in law. To which the man replies, "I am a thief in law." In a final video recorded at the juvenile detention center, prisoners are physically abused and forced to call themselves thieves in law. The guards threaten to rape them if they do not do as they are told. These videos, unfortunately, reach the public before they reach the government. Various groups immediately launched protests across the country. The government was forced to investigate the matter and put an end to the mistreatment of prisoners at Geldani prison. The prison was once again in the spotlight when the country's former president was imprisoned there. Several groups of protesters took to the streets, both in favor and against the release of former President Adex Florence. Adex Florence, also known as Alcatraz to rookies, is one of the most secure prisons in the United States and no one has ever escaped from there. The facility was designed to house the worst types of criminals, considered a danger to the country or other prisoners. The extreme security measures used at this prison have been the subject of debate and lawsuits for some time. However, these measures were put in place to ensure that the hardened criminals locked up there would never be released back into society to cause more harm. The prison houses criminals such as bomber Ted Kaczynski and Ramzi Youef, who attacked the World Trade Center. Prisoners at Adex Florence are kept in isolation for 23 hours a day without being able to see or interact with anyone. They are also not allowed any form of human contact. Each prisoner is locked up in individual cells for at least their first 3 years there. For 1 hour a day, prisoners are allowed to exercise their bodies in a small, covered underground pit that resembles an empty swimming pool. The pit is so small that it only takes 10 steps to cross it in a straight line and 31 to walk around it in a circle. Prisoners are unaware of where they are or what is around them, as they are not allowed to go out into the courtyard. Each prison cell is built with proper planning to ensure the safety of the prisoners. The cells contain a bed, a desk, and a stool, mostly made of poured concrete. Each cell also contains a toilet, a sink, and a shower that has been specially designed to ensure the safety of the prisoners. The shower operates on a timer, which means that the water is turned off after a short period of time. This is done so that the inmates do not have the opportunity to flood their cells. Each cell is 7 by 12 feet in size with a 4 by 4 window that allows the inmates to see nothing but the sky and the rooftops. The inmates can tell what time of day it is by looking out the window, but they do not know what their surroundings are like. This placement of the windows has played a significant role in the sense that no prisoner has been able to plan an escape because he has no knowledge of his immediate surroundings. For added security, The prison is equipped with cameras and motion detectors, and every corner of the facility is monitored 24 hours a day. There are a total of 100 doors in the prison, and each of them is controlled from a control room that is never left unattended. In case of an escape attempt or chaos, all the doors are immediately locked by pressing a panic button in the control room, and the doors remain locked until the problem is resolved. Many human rights activists have filed lawsuits against ADX Florence over the conditions in which inmates are held. Unlike other prisons where inmates face poor living conditions and physical torture, ADX Florence was carefully planned to mentally break the hardened criminals it houses. Holding inmates in solitary confinement for up to 3 years has been said to have caused severe mental damage to inmates. Kaechon Camp 14, North Korea. Kaechon Internment Camp or Camp 14 is a North Korean labor camp reserved for political prisoners and their families. The official name of the prison is Wonsa Penal Labor Colony No. 14, and it sits on approximately 155 kilometers of land. The camp contains farms, mines, and factories where inmates are forced to work. Approximately 15,000 people are incarcerated in the Kaechon internment camps. There are overcrowded barracks for men, women, and mature children. There are also administrative buildings and housing for guards in the camp. The people locked up in Camp 14 are those the North Korean government has classified as politically unreliable. These people are considered enemies of the state and include government officials who have failed to do their jobs properly, people suspected of engaging in anti-government activities, and anyone who criticizes the government. The sad thing about Camp 14 is that it doesn't just lock up suspected criminals, but also the criminals and their families, including children. The camp enforces a policy known as three-generation punishment, which means that for every crime committed, the criminal's family members have to pay up to the third generation. Children born in the camp are not considered free citizens, regardless of whether they were not alive when their parents were locked up. These children are born directly into the hardships of the camp and have no idea what life is like outside of it. Prisoners are forced to work in agriculture, coal mining, textile production, and factories that produce food, paper, shoes, cement, ceramics, and rubber. Prisoners have the option of raising livestock because it gives them the opportunity to steal food intended for the animals. When prisoners are not working as slaves, they are starved and are constantly tortured for minor crimes. Only one person has managed to escape from Camp 14 since it was established. Shin Dong-hak was 23 years old when he managed to escape from prison, but he had to climb over the dead body of his friend and cross an electrified fence to reach freedom. His hard-won freedom was, however, a new concept for Shin, as he had been born in the camp and had only known hunger, forced labor, and constant beatings throughout his life. Paragon did not understand the meaning of family and love, as his environment had forced him to view his family as his competition for food. After escaping, Shin managed to enter China and from there moved to South Korea before settling in the United States. Judging from the fact that he grew up in such a harsh environment as Camp 14, it can be said that Shin Dong-hak took a while to adapt to life outside the camp. He remains the only person born and raised in a North Korean prison camp to have escaped. Gitarama Prison, Rwanda. Gitarama Prison in Rwanda is considered one of the deadliest and most overcrowded prisons in the world. The prison houses approximately 7,000 inmates, when in reality it was built to hold only 600 inmates. The overcrowding was a result of the 1994 Rwandan genocide, in which an estimated 800,000 people died in a span of 100 days. All those suspected of the heinous crimes were immediately arrested and detained in Gitarama prison. Rapid overcrowding in the prison resulted in the deaths of over 1,000 inmates in 1995. The lack of adequate living conditions, healthcare, and the use of dirty beds led to the putrefaction of other inmates' limbs. Inmates spend long hours standing barefoot in whatever small space they can find, as the lack of space does not allow them to sit or sleep comfortably. This continuous presence in unsanitary conditions causes many inmates' feet to rot and eventually require amputation. The severe lack of adequate medical care and the prevalence of illness in this prison have resulted in a death rate of approximately 8 inmates per day. The death rate in the prison is also affected by the endless violence among inmates. Hunger and starvation in the facility have turned many inmates into cannibals who have resorted to killing the weak and eating their flesh to sustain themselves. Jitarama has become a jungle of sorts, as the inmates now operate with an eat-or-be-eaten mentality. Over the years, various human rights organizations have raised many objections about the inhumane conditions in which the inmates of Jitarama are forced to live. Unfortunately, these pleas have continued to fall on deaf ears, as nothing has been done to alleviate the suffering of the inmates. Despite the media being full of bad stories about Jitarama prison, Rwanda has come out to deny all such reports, calling them fabrications by the media. A spokesperson stated that the prison was overcrowded due to the number of suspects and limited infrastructure. However, reports of extreme conditions and cannibalism are pure fabrications. Contradicting this claim, former Foreign and Commonwealth Secretary Sir Jeremy Hamley stated that the International Committee of the Red Cross believes that over 2,000 deaths have occurred in 13 Rwandan prisons. They also believe that these deaths were caused by overcrowding and health problems, with Jitarama having the highest number of deaths. Regarding Rwandan prisons, another member of the Red Cross, Bridget Troyon, stated that the conditions in which prisoners are kept are completely inhumane and urgently need to be improved. If cannibalism has truly become a means of survival in Jitarama, then death rates will continue to rise if nothing is done. Regarding the state of the prison, people should be afraid to enter any type of prison, but when it comes down to it, these prisons should be avoided at all costs. In many other prisons, inmates are rehabilitated and emerge as better citizens, but those who serve time in these prisons are likely to emerge worse off than when they entered. Check out the video below for more chilling truths about life behind bars. M.